Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Anne-Marie Lockhart, and you're listening to Vox Poetica's 15 Minutes of Poetry. And today, it's 15 Minutes of Poetry and Art, because we're talking about a specific collaboration. And I have with me today Teresa Sonato Edwards. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Anne-Marie.
And Lori Schreiner. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
And they have done an amazing work that I'm going to let them introduce and speak to. We're going to get into a whole lot of conversation about. Lori, you're the painter. You're the original source behind this book. So why don't you tell us how it came to be?
Okay. Well, I was actually in an MFA program at Goddard, and I had a lot of papers, and I was distracting, and I was reading Daily News, actually, and just at the very back of the paper was this little article on Wilhelm Bratz, a political prisoner at Auschwitz. And he had been a photographer there and had to document the children and the adults that were prisoners. And there was a little strip of photos, maybe 3 inches by an inch, of this young girl, which were just incredibly sad and compelling, a front, a side view, a profile, and a kind of three-quarters view of a child, who I didn't know anything about, but her faces, these images were just haunting me. So I actually cut them out of the paper and went to my studio the next day and started painting 4 paintings of these 3 images. And just did them all in about 4 hours, and they were just sort of shocked me, the power. I felt I was communing with this person who was, I assumed, no longer alive, although I didn't know. And I went to school and was having lunch with Teresa, who was in one of my classes, and was talking about these pictures I had painted that my painting teacher had been telling me, you need to get these out and these are important. And I was like, well, what am I going to do with these? I don't even know what I'm doing. And she then told me she had worked on the Shoah project for Steven Spielberg's annotating testimony of the Holocaust survivors, and she wanted to see my paintings. So I actually Xeroxed them in pieces, because I didn't know how to use a digital camera, and sent them to Teresa, and she started writing poetry in response to the paintings, and that
right.
began the collaboration.
Well, yeah, and actually I had said to Lori, you know, I really would like to write a poem, you know, in response to your paintings. And then Lori sent me these big, beautiful color copies along with a copy of the article on Brassi. And, you know, and that's, and then I started to write looking at all, you know, the copies of her paintings and the article with copies of his black and white photos. So
now, when did all of this transpire?
Wow,
I painted the paintings in 2006, and I think that we had that conversation around that time, because this was in your senior project. So
yes.
Now,
go ahead.
That's a few years ago. So tell me how how did it evolve from a response to a few paintings to a full blown project?
We did that one collaboration, and tell me if I'm getting this right, Teresa. We then decided we wanted to do more, and
yeah.
I don't know when we decided it was going to be a project. Somewhere in there, Teresa researched, well, you can speak to this, photographs from the Holocaust museums that we then looked at
hundreds.
It seemed.
Yeah. It was hundreds. It was many. I think after we had done Czesława's collaboration, I wanted to, you know, I it was included in my my senior thesis, which eventually evolved into my first book of poetry. And I had said to Lori, you know, before that book was even published a couple of years before, you know, we should try to get this out, published on its own, Chess Wafa's collaboration. And we did. And from there, I mean, there was hardly anything known about Chess Wafa on the internet until, you know, we got ours up and actually admit to an online journal was the first one to publish this. And then it just evolved from there. We just said we want to do more, and we could, you know, I mean, we both were feeling something from, you know, Chess Wafa, and we just, I then started doing some research, and, you know, and then we just, it just continued.
And we did, we collaborated often by email. We saw each other in person a few times, and we were carrying around, I know I personally was carrying around 20 or 30 of these black and white printouts of children that we had determined, we thought had perished. We had the idea that we wanted to do this in memory of children that had perished and children that represented all different kinds of children that might have perished.
Yes.
And so that was a sort of organizing idea that we had. And then we agreed on which children we wanted to paint. And I painted more, and I assume Teresa was looking at extras, but I carried them, and I also had the paintings up at the studio where I work of these children for about a year. All the children were up, and people came in and had relationships with these paintings. So it really was something that was pretty sacred and kept evolving on its own almost. It still feels that way to me.
Yes, me
but,
too.
And each time one was painted, I would send it to Teresa, or she would say, I'm ready to do another poem. Do you have a painting? And I would then work on doing a painting. So it was really a back and forth all the way through.
Now, by the time, I had seen one or two of the poems, and at first, my introduction to it was via the poetry, and that came to me via Teresa's book, Voices Through Skin. So I was aware of the project after having read Teresa's work, and my assumption at the time was that this had been published, that it was a collection on its own. And when Teresa came to me and said, you know, hey, I've been looking for a publisher, don't know if this is something you'd want to do or not, I was stunned, first of all, that it had not been published or and there hadn't been a conduit for it in that capacity. And you both know my immediate response was,
yeah.
We can do that. We will definitely do that. So when I... You know, I accepted that idea of this just based upon what I had known of it already. And then when I really saw the work for the first time together in its entirety, the way you had constructed it as a manuscript, what struck me immediately was just that each individual touch point of the manuscript, each child, had so much in common with people I knew in my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My stepdad was in Belgium. He was part of the resistance. There was a child from Belgium there, you know, that was probably born around the same time. And, you know, it crossed my mind that he might have seen that child. You know, there was a child who had been part of the hidden situation. And I had a friend whose mom, you know, lived to tell the tale because, you know, when she was in hiding, the Nazi soldier walked in the door and didn't bother to look behind the door where she was hiding that day.
Mm.
You know, I knew another child. There's a biracial child in there who looks very much like my daughter, and that really was really strange to see and to think about what happened to that particular girl who could have been my own. It was it was impossible to walk away from that book at that stage of the game. Just without sensing that I would be abandoning people I knew. You know,
exactly.
I felt connected to each of them. And I know that that's an experience people have relayed back to you again and again.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what people have shared with you about the experience of the work.
Well, Lori?
I've been living with the paintings and showing the paint, you know, that end of it. I think people feel haunted by it and also,
you know,
feel they're alive. I mean, it's especially since they were in this public, almost, it was this school, but they were living there and people wanted to see them. They would often ask, how can you do that? Because you just have this black and white tiny picture, and yet it feels as if, to them as well, that these people, these beings have somehow made themselves known. So that's the feeling most people express to me. And I just want to share my mother, family fled Germany. They were in the resistance also, and that mm-hmm. was, I think, what brought me and my partner's family. Many of them died in the camps. But these were things I wasn't, I mean, I was there on my mind, but not until I actually got into the project did I feel how much I was trying to connect with people I knew and my family and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, and just to add to that, I don't know if, I think for me, I mean, because not, I mean, people have said that, you know, our collaboration is haunting and, you know, we've really said something, shown something here about the children. And for me, I don't know, I didn't necessarily connect it to anyone who was a victim, per se. Number one, I connected with something about these children individually. When Lori and I finally picked the, you know, the ones that we picked to concentrate on. And number two, I guess I connected somewhat to my father because he was a soldier in combat in World War II. So for me, you know, and it's interesting, Anne-Marie, because I never even thought, you know, that, you know, I never thought about the connection that other people would have as far as connected to victims, you know, until you really have brought that up. And I know that Lori had some connections as well. But so I guess for me, the connection was more my father and mm-hmm. just really connecting to these kids.
We did have an email from Chesualtha's a relative.
Yeah.
You know, sort of being so happy to see this image of this person they had never met, obviously, but that was their relative. And that was very powerful for us. That was early on.
Well, you know, and that's another interesting point about the work, because any representation, be it visual or with words, you know, it doesn't almost matter. We don't realize how much that either can connect or disconnect to the actual experience of who that person may have been. But there is a real, very palpable sense, like you've both said, of aliveness to the paintings and the poetry. We are able to, when we read this book and see these things in conjunction, visualize the lives these children may have had. You know, it makes them extraordinarily real in the moment, and not just a number or a story or a statistic, but it gives them breath in a different way.
Right.
Good.
And
I think
that's why we wanted to do this.
And I think there's such, I've had people say, oh, that's so dark, or how could you do that? And it's like, well, look at this. These are children. Why wouldn't you want to look? These were people. These are children that lived through something. We should honor them and not turn away.
Well,
and I think
there's something very crucial about that.
Yes,
and
I agree.
And also in facing the fact that, that's right, it is dark, and it happened, and it was real. And, you know, you must acknowledge that human beings did this to one another. Like, that must not be separated from the story. And when you look at this, you can't separate that.
Exactly.
You know the outcomes. You know it's there.
And even more horrific, excuse me, was the fact that, you know, these things were being done to innocent children who had no, some of them were so young and had no idea at all what was going on.
They're down.
You know,
How dare
anyone?
And part of our choice is about, some of the children are wearing street clothes or their regular life clothes of their lives, which, you know, to me was also very important to show these people lived and had, you know, are just like are us. And
right.
You know,
I'm thinking specifically of Suzanne's smile. It's
yeah.
a picture of the most adorable little happy baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's so beautiful, and she could be anybody's child ever in the world. And you see this, and she's got her stuffed animal. And, to you know, the shock of integrating that picture with her actual facts of her life, it's brutal, you know. And you can't read it and separate that out. You have to wear
right.
that with it.
Yes.
Right.
And some of them we didn't know, you know, some of them we didn't even know, you know, anything about them. I mean, Suzanne, I had a little bit from the U.S. Holocaust Museum, you know, to go along with her photo. But some of the children, we had nothing. And, you know, I mean, Laurie painted from their photo, and I wrote in response to, you know, their painting and her painting and their photos. Anyway.
And then now the other interesting piece of this project, and we're talking about aliveness, but it's a very living work in that it is now appearing, being launched this week as a book, but it has already made certain appearances as a gallery exhibit and as an interactive project, and there will be more of those things. Can you talk a little bit about what that experience is like as compared to reading it itself in the book form, how it feels different in the living sense when you see the work side by side and hear the poems being read while looking at the portraits themselves?
Well, I mean, Laurie can answer this also, but I mean, I know when I was face-to-face with Laurie's paintings, I mean, it just adds a whole nother dimension, you know, to this, the whole sharing of whatever about these children. And Laurie, you can add to that.
We've been in two shows in Vermont that were collaborative shows with writers and painters. Maybe 12 sets of writers and painters who wrote and painted together a project, and then we, as a group, talked about the experience. And I thought it was really a powerful thing. And we're going to be at the Brattleboro Literary Festival in October, which is quite an event. And we'll have a reading, and I'm thinking of posters, but I'm going to bring the paintings. But my vision of this is to go to museums with the paintings and read and do other performance pieces with art and music and the readings, just because I think it just brings it all to life.
Yeah, and I agree, and that's why, you know, this Thursday, you know, that's why we're having, like, Laurie will be there with some of her paintings that will coincide with the poems I'm reading. We have a cellist, Abby Luby, coming to that will be accompanying me when I read Soldier Boy. And as Laurie will show that beautiful painting, you know, so there's definitely a lot with, you know, the whole feeling of the collaboration. And like Laurie said, you know, we would like to do more of this kind of work across the globe, across the United States, across New Jersey.
Yeah, and I'm thinking for that, you know, teaching as well, because anti-Semitism is still, we're in, you know, and all sorts of bias. Yeah,
right.
And I mean, it comes up in Vermont, and I actually was having a conversation. I brought the book and showed it to the folks that were talking about these kids that were having an issue, and they want me to talk to the school. And, you know, I'm just, it's such a teaching tool that people can relate to.
Absolutely.
It really is. I agree with that. I think in the teaching setting, it could have tremendous impact, you know, just by being a part of a curriculum, it can have a tremendous impact, making something come alive that seems so remote but really is not remote at all. That was not that long ago. You
know? Not close to when we were born.
Right.
And I think... go ahead.
Yeah, go on.
I think we've been invited to teach in D.C., right? Teresa, you want to talk about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we can hold off getting into any of the particulars with that, but, I mean, that is a possibility of having this book included in a college course, and in which case then we would go and, you know, and show the work and do readings and talk to students, you know. And it's also, you know, it's about also ekrastic work and creative response to human beings, to historical events. So that's a whole nother dimension to teaching as well. The teaching,
absolutely,
you know, letting people know that not only, you know, I mean, it has to do with the children, you know, and how you can learn from creative response to, in this instance, to these children. So, you know, it goes across the board with ekrastic work and creative response. So there's a lot of teaching, a lot of things that can be learned.
I found so much from reading Teresa's work, of seeing my own work through her eyes. There were things she saw in my paintings that I didn't even know I didn't see, that she saw and wrote of, which was incredibly deep for me.
And
it can be so cross-disciplinary. You know, I mean, it can be a literary approach. It can be an artistic approach from a visual art standpoint, interpretation kind of an approach. It can be political discourse. And the concept of artistic response to political strife, you know,
social justice.
My God, the terrain there is so deep, you know. There's so much
absolutely. And I'm a social worker.
Yeah.
I'm totally committed to that.
Yes.
Me too. Let's talk about the Thursday night, because that's going to be a big event. It's going to open the launch of the book. It's going to be the first public appearance, if you will, of the work itself in this context. So let's hear about the details. Where, when, who, what, and how?
Well, it's going to be at the Adrian's Memorial Library, which is part of the Poughkeepsie Public Library District, I guess, or and it will be in the Adrian's Periodical Reading Room in Poughkeepsie, New York. It's at 7 p.m., and it's going to be an interesting night. It is a launch for this book, very much so, and we're going to have, again, Laurie is coming with her paintings. I'm going to read some of the poems. Laurie's actually going to read her introduction to the book, which I think really helps put the reader into perspective before they experience what comes right after it. And we're going to have the cellist, and I will be reading some work from the book. And it really is a night on Holocaust Remembrance Day, and it really is looking at children's voices. You know, I'm gonna have some of my students from Marist who will be participating in the event. So it's gonna be a great event. I mean, and really, it's, you know, to honor these kids and hopefully, I don't know, bring them some kind of peace. I hope. I don't know. Laurie.
Laurie. Anything you want to add?
No, I'm very thankful we're able to share it. I'm very thankful it's out and in the world and having its life, and everyone should come if they can.
Yeah,
and if
absolutely.
You can, we will have more events that we are looking to line up, and now we'll be publicizing those and getting the word out about them as they unfold. So I think as the publisher of this project, my expectation is that this has a very, very long lifespan, in direct contrast to the very, very short lifespans of the subject of the art itself. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that can reach so many people over across space and time and distance and geography. And our goal for it is to extend that reach as much as we can. So there will be information coming at various times and places.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add to that, Anne-Marie, because you took the risk to publish this. It is full color. And just what you said about, you know, getting it out there, in such a way so that, you know, people can, you know, get be in contact with this. That's something, you know, because of its, because it's full color and all that, that, you know, you were willing to do. I know before you had mentioned, you know, that you were surprised that it had not been published, and I just wanted to kind of just end with that and just say, you know, to thank you. Because not only did you say yes, but you also put it in a form. And, you know, you've said this to us, but where it not only is it beautiful, but it's accessible.
It's accessible.
You know? And it's not expensive. And I'm props to you. I mean, I'm so thankful for that, for you.
You're part of our collaboration.
For doing that. Yes, you know, and again.
It's what we're here to do. It's our mission. And, you know, this work, if ever there was a mission critical piece, this is it. You know, it really just speaks on its own, and we're the way it gets its voice out. So, you know, I feel just honored to be part of it and just amazed by its existence, and I think that that's something that needs to be shared. So, you guys did all the hard work and kept the belief in it alive for all those years, you know, from the time that it started till now. It's a long journey.
It's a long time.
You know?
And we were almost giving up there when you got in touch.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is unfortunately true in a lot of artistic journeys, but, you know, in our case, we're looking at it now at the beginning of a whole new level of its journey, which is so exciting.
Exactly.
And,
that's very cool.
So we're totally out of time, and on that note,
okay,
we're going to end.
Okay.
Anyone who can get to Poughkeepsie on Thursday, please come to the library, be there for that wonderful event, and if not, look for more information. There will be more out there. And look for the big announcement. Pick up a copy. You're going to have many ways of doing it. Amazon is one, and Unbound Content is going to have a link page as well that will be up there on Thursday itself. Some of you have gotten advance notices already, so, you know, go click on that and go get your copy early, because this is going to be a beautiful, beautiful experience when you pick it up and read it and look at it again and again and again. There is no, you don't read it once and put it down. You go back to it over and over again. Thank you, ladies, for joining me and for making this experience so much of an artistic amazement for me. I'm looking forward to seeing it live on Thursday.
Yes. Can't wait. Bye-bye. Can't wait to see you. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week talking about poetry and who knows what else. Every week it's a little different here. So I'm glad you got to listen in, and we look forward to sharing more with you soon. Bye-bye.